Vocalist, pianist, songwriter, and positive spirit, Betty Bryant is having a ball and can't wait to dive into the next adventure. At 94, Betty is an inspiration on so many levels that her age, which would be the first thing one would mention with anyone else, seems almost beside the point. Betty Bryant grew up in Kansas City and throughout our conversation expressed her gratitude for the opportunities she's had to know great musicians along the way, like her friend and early supporter, pianist Jay McShann. Betty's latest CD, Lotta Livin', produced by her longtime friend and collaborator Robert Kyle, showcases Betty's blues roots, soulful sound, and cheeky sense of humor. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. And I want to start right off by asking you, because this is something that you have been around more than most of us, and I have to ask, besides the music, because people always say, the music inspires me, the music keeps me going, all of that. But besides the music, I want to know how you have stayed so positive and inspired, because this is a really hard business, even for people who are successful. And I wonder about that, because you've kept going and stayed positive, obviously, about this. Is there anything you can identify with that?
I think because I didn't have grandiose goals to begin with. I always wanted to do something that I loved doing. I never wanted a life of fame where my life would not be my own. So it's sort of, I've chosen my way to go, and I've been able to do it for a long time.
I love that. You know, that's the opposite of everybody else living in Hollywood. You're out there. You're really a one-off. You're in the land of where everybody wants to be famous.
Yeah, it never was about fame for me. In fact, I told my son that just recently, and he reacted the same way most people do. You know, like, that just doesn't even make sense. And I've been happy. I've had a very happy life, mostly. Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense to me. I think that it's, out of all the younger musicians that I've had on the show recently, I've been most impressed in attitude about one who told me, she's 24, and she says, I just want to keep making the music and hopefully have a place to live and be able to go out to a restaurant every now and then. And she was very positive.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I used to say, too. One time I saw Lena Horne in a supermarket, and she was looking at meat. And she was very beautiful. And I thought, that's the kind of fame I like. You know, it's like nobody was bothering her. Here she was in a very public place looking at meat like anybody else. And nobody was bothering her. And I thought, that's the kind of fame I like.
Once I had a man, sweet as he could be. Once I had a man and he was good to me. Kind of curly hair, eyes so soft and blue. You couldn't help but care when he smiled at you. He called me baby, baby, all the time. He said, baby, try to see, baby, understand, baby, you're for me, won't you take my hand? But I pushed him away, wouldn't let him near, pushed him far away, now I'm wishing I could hear, baby, baby, all the time.
Well, you came to Los Angeles at a really young age, and you were 20, in your mid-20s, right? I mean, if I was figuring out the years right.
I guess it would be mid-20s.
I was curious about the difference, because Kansas City, obviously, everything I've read about you had a big influence on you and Jay McShann and just that Kansas City sound. But I'm curious about the scene that was around you when you were in Kansas City and getting into the music scene there and then coming to Los Angeles, which I'm assuming was very different, or was it different? Could you talk about
that? It was very different because I was there and I started my career right at the time when everything was beginning to change as far as segregation was concerned. So I started out, there was a guy, a piano player, an organist actually, named Earl Grant. And Earl was playing at a place and decided to move to L.A. and recommended me for his job in Kansas City. And that was how I really got my foot in the door there. And one thing just led to another. I was cute. That helped.
I think you're cute now.
Thank you. But I don't know. Nothing was ever very hard for me. It's just like people opened doors for me. Talent helped. I don't think that I could have had doors open if I couldn't do what I set out to do, if I couldn't play or couldn't sing. So I think that I developed the talent along the way while I was being professional. Because before I was professional, I had just had classical training, really. And then when Jay sort of took me under his wing, it was like, oh, I just thought I was in the big time. But I would stop by the place where he was working, and he would let me take over the stage. He would just leave and let me be the piano player with the band, and everybody loved me. And it was just that easy.
For you with my heart in my hand, I want you to read it, mama, hoping that you'll understand. Well, baby, mama, please don't talk me round. I'd rather love you, baby, more than anyone else in town, because you're so nice and loving and you have such pleasing ways. Take me to your home. Be there, be rest of my days. That's the truth, mama. Well, you know I wasn't lying. Cause if I don't love you, baby, well, I swear I hope to die. Well, baby, don't you want to be like me? Forget about you used to be.
Jay McShann, a major influence on my guest, pianist, vocalist Betty Bryant. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm talking to Betty about her early years in Kansas City when she met Jay McShann.
So I didn't know very much. I knew how to play the blues, and that was it.
But I love that he was generous and that
and
gave you the opportunity to play with the band, which you and I know is so important to get that experience. There's no amount of talking gives you the feel of a band, of playing with a band and getting that opportunity.
That's
don't
right.
you think?
That is exactly right.
And so, what was it like when you came to California? That's a big move. Was that scary? Was that I'm curious because we were the same age. I was a little bit younger when I started coming to New York, and I made that leap at a very different time, but I didn't know anybody, and I sort of went for my reasons, and you went to L.A. for your reasons. I'm curious about that.
Well, once again, Earl Grant had moved here before I did, and he was working at a place in Beverly Hills called Ye Little Club. It was a wonderful little place, cocktail lounge. And at that time, everybody, every little hole in the wall had a piano player. But Earl got me in there on his night off. Because, you know, he had preceded me out here from Kansas City. And he became very popular out here. He died very young, so that's why you probably don't know him. But anyway, he got me into Your Little Club, and that was my beginning. From there, I got an agent. I don't even know how somebody came to see me. It was just easy in those days. Mm. It really was. Mm. Piano bars and places like that I was playing. I wasn't, you know, featured performer or anything.
When you say easy, do you mean because there were more places that existed that featured that kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss that. I miss that. Because even when I came to New York in the 80s, there were still places that were like that. And I could go hear any number of great pianists who mm-hmm. were playing in hotels and who knew all the tunes and then
right.
some.
Mm. Yeah. I never liked to play for singers, mainly because I don't, you know, people that drop beats or add beats, it's like, it's too frustrating for me. I can't deal with it. Mm-hmm. So I always worked places where I was the featured performer, and I didn't play for sing-alongs and open mics, that sort of thing. So there, well, even those have sort of disappeared lately. They're not as prevalent as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there were a lot of good piano players around, and I was fortunate to be one of them.
My guest, pianist vocalist Betty Bryant, from her new CD, Lotta Livin', a perfect title and focus for this 94-year-old who's more lively, positive, and inspired than many folks much younger than she. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Betty Bryant grew up in Kansas City and was heavily influenced by the musicians she knew from that time. Betty said the secret to her happiness is her desire to make great music and not pursue fame, although fame has pursued her and kept her career moving forward when others have thrown in the towel.
The reason that I ask people to send me just five of their biggest inspirations or some of their inspirations is because it's so challenging to ask, especially a musician, to do that because we have
it's
so
hard.
Many people. It's really hard, but it's it is. But it's really it's interesting to me because it is such a challenging exercise. And with you, because you're such a wonderful singer and wonderful pianist, obviously, but you sent me pianists. You didn't send me singers, except for Jay, which is interesting. You zero. Did you think about that? They're all piano players. I thought that was really interesting.
I guess I think of myself more as a piano player than a singer. I sort of half talk and half sing. I love lyrics. And so whatever it takes to get the message across is the way I feel about lyrics. Mm. But so I'm like voice wise, I never did have that much of a voice and never did bother me. I still would make it happen. So just to get the song across, what the lyricist was trying to say was important. And you know, I guess you heard that I like to write stuff. So I always had fun with lyrics as well as listening to other people. But when it comes to singers, there are just so many good singers. And I don't know where to... I don't think that I've really followed anybody as far as inspiration is trying to sound like somebody is concerned.
Mm. Mm.
I liked a lot of the old blues singers. Diane Reeves, I think, is one of my very favorite singers.
Yeah, me too.
And there are a lot of people like that. And I can't narrow it down. I, you know, would seem unfair to me to start trying to figure out who did I like or who influenced me. I'm not really sure.
No, I loved that, though. I found it interesting because I just personally, because I've just started singing in the last few years, and I think of myself as a pianist in the same way. It's more about the piano, and there's lots of singers that I like. But I love your writing, and I told Rob earlier that chicken wings, I'm obsessed with chicken wings. And it's like you've given me a whole different, Rob is here too, so people of our radio audience is going to hear him laughing in the background, because I've never been a huge fan of chicken wings. And that's certain bars I've been in when they say, let's get some wings. But I was so hungry after listening to this. You were so seductive. I'm just telling you, woman, that this is the sexiest song. And there's a lot of sexy songs about food, but this is just, I'm obsessed with this tune, and Rob's wonderful I didn't even know he played harmonica. This man just keeps popping up with more talents. It's a bit overwhelming.
All of that, Rob can claim any amount of fame Chicken Wings has. I wrote it a long, long time ago, and I think he was just looking through my stuff one day and saw it. But, you know, it was like, what is this?
It's fantastic.
And when we recorded, I didn't even remember when we recorded it, because we didn't record it specifically for this CD. It was something we had recorded with like some spare time in a studio a long time ago, and he had kept it.
You know, most folks like chicken, but they don't like all the parts. Some prefer the drumsticks. Some like gizzards, even hearts. I'll take my chances hit or miss about all kinds of things. But when it comes to chicken, I only like the wings. I knew a guy in Hollywood who just loved chicken feet. He didn't have much money, and for him, they were a treat. I told him he just didn't know what happiness it brings to sit down at a table with a feast of chicken wings. Oh, you can stick 'em in batter, roll 'em in flour, fry 'em in deep fat a quarter of an hour, teriyaki bake 'em, broil a barbecue, or throw 'em in a pot and just let 'em stew. Ah, chicken wings love those things. Now, once I met a widow who was wealthy, though bizarre. She dined each day on truffles, breast of squab, and caviar. She spent her summer on her yacht and wintered in Palm Springs, and never once experienced the joy of chicken wings. Hey, you can stick 'em in batter or roll 'em in flour, fry 'em in deep fat a quarter of an hour, teriyaki bake 'em, broil a barbecue, or throw 'em in a pot and just let 'em stew. Oh yeah, chicken wings. Love those things. There's no moral to this story. I guess that's understood. I just wanted you to know that I think chicken wings are good. My eyes light up, I start to smile, and oh, how my heart sings when I see a plate before me with a stack of chicken wings. Ah, you can stick 'em in batter, roll 'em in flour, fry 'em in deep fat a quarter of an hour, teriyaki bake 'em, broil a barbecue, or throw 'em in a pot and just let 'em stew. Chicken wings, I love those things.
Pianist vocalist Betty Bryant on her tune Chicken Wings, with her producer and longtime collaborator, Robert Kyle, on harmonica. And it's so perfect in in this CD, and I can give props to Rob just in producing this too, that it has such a lovely balance of really wonderful storytelling, but then with these surprises like this popping up in there. And I hear so much because people send me things, you know, and so many things sound so similar. And this is really fun because you go all the way from this to Put a Lid on It, which I want to start doing myself. That is such a great tune. I love that tune. I'm hoping I'm going to get it together to perform that because it's so funny. Talk about this tune and writing it. I know something had to inspire this. It's very funny.
There was one song that I wrote. I like subjects that nobody else would think about writing about. And one time on Johnny Carson, he said Tina Turner was put on this earth to teach women how to walk in high-heeled shoes. And so I did a whole song about I can't walk like Tina Turner in my high-heeled shoes.
Oh, I like it.
And I get more requests. Or it's another one of those things. It's just sat on the shelf, something I wrote, you know, and just forgot about. And now I get a lot of requests for it. It's really funny.
Well, these are things that we think about that so many people write. Everybody writes about love, but there's a lot more going on in life than boy gets girl, girl gets boy, or whatever. So I think it's wonderful. But I love this because we've all had people that are just, you know, talking, not getting anywhere with it, you know, so Put a Lid on It. I like that.
All you do is fuss and moan day and night. Tired of your opinions, wrong or right. It's on and on ad nauseum, sun to sun. 'Cause when it comes to blabbermouths, baby, you're number one. Put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. 'Cause if you don't, we're through. Tired of telling you. Put a lid on it. When my friends come over, you don't act right. You cop an attitude and you're impolite. You sit round in your BVDs, guzzling beer, on and on ad nauseum. That's all I hear. Put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. 'Cause if you don't, we're through. I'm tired of telling you. Put a lid on it.
My guest, Betty Bryant, on piano and vocal. One of Betty's early influences and mentors when she was coming on the scene in Kansas City was Jay McShann. Jay McShann, I have a very quick Jay McShann story for you, because when I played my first jazz festival here in New York many years ago, it was a piano extravaganza and one of those, and where they pushed out three pianos. It's the kind of thing that the audience loves and piano players hate, where they have three pianos and six piano players, where we all had to play together. And
it was, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a complete cacophony and all of that. And everybody's screaming and it's all of that. And on one piano was, I think I was 24. At the time. So I was the only girl. I was really young. And so it was Jay McShann with Ralph Sutton. It was a bunch of stride piano players, which is already like two piano players. So it was Ralph Sutton and Jay McShann, Dick Hyman and Derek Smith, and Dick Wellstood and me. And they go, "We're off." And Dick Hyman announces the tune, which I don't hear because I'm so nervous and the audience is screaming so loudly. All I can tell is that we're in F. So I just keep, and I'm on the bass and I keep playing F chords, you know, and I can't tell and I can't tell. And Dick Wellstood, who was this very big man, he keeps looking at me angrily, like, "What are you playing?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm the new kid." And I keep trying to play, you know, and I'm doing it. this goes, and he keeps looking at me, and finally he screams in my face, and he's sitting right next to me, "What are you playing?" And I go, "Oh, I don't know. I couldn't hear what the tune is." And he then says, "Oh, damn, I couldn't hear either. I was hoping you could tell me." And I'm thinking, my career is over. I'm here with all the big boys. Like, Jay McShann's a huge hero. Goodness. They're all my heroes. And he goes, "Oh, I don't know." And then I just kept, you know, and finally I keep playing. And finally I think it's Lady Be Good. You know, off we go. And oh, no, I was sure that was the end of my career. But then it wound up, he didn't know what we were doing either. So, yes, that was my one time with Jay McShann. Pianist Jay McShann and Ralph Sutton on I Got Rhythm, with bassist Milt Hinton and Gus Johnson on drums. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from the American Hotel in Sag Harbor, New York. Although we're broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production not funded by NPR. We're funded primarily by your donations. So please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in. No gift is too small. And please write a review on Apple Podcasts, which is the best way for us to spread the word about the show. 2025 marks our 25th anniversary on air. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on your favorite podcast platform and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Stride Queen. Visit judycarmichael.com for my complete concert schedule. I'm talking with pianist, vocalist, songwriter Betty Bryant, who at 94 is still loving life and music and charging forward with a positive energy we should all emulate. Betty grew up in Kansas City before moving to Los Angeles in her mid-20s to further pursue her career. Talk about Hampton Hawes and what you particularly like about his playing.
He was one of the first people I met when I came out here. Both Hamp and Gerald Wiggins were friends of my ex-husband. And so I was introduced to them when I first came out here. And so I got to go and see Hamp. He was working at a little place called The Hague. And it was near, sort of near what is now Koreatown in L.A. And I was just so impressed that I could meet somebody like that to begin with. Plus, Hamp was gorgeous.
But that helps. Played
all of, yeah, he played all of this great piano, but I liked the way he played chords, and I liked his harmonies, or voicings, I should say. I think that's the most, that impressed me most about him was the way he voiced chords. He was a swinging piano player in his own right. He didn't sound like Errol Garner or, you know, some of the people who were very popular at the time. He had his own sound, and I just really loved him.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
And Gerald Wiggins, I have to tell you, I don't know that anybody has ever mentioned Gerald Wiggins. And I met him. He was very supportive when I was, you know, first getting going. And I love his playing. And people, and I don't know why people haven't mentioned him on the show, but I'm glad you did. So talk about Gerald Wiggins.
Okay, same thing. I met him because he was a friend of my ex-husband. And we started hanging out at his house during the daytime. And he had an old upright piano. And everybody that was hanging out over there was a musician. And one, Eugene Wright was one of those people that was hanging out. And there was a saxophone player named Bumps Myers, who was great. But at the drop of a hat, anybody might start playing anything. It was never like an organized jam session or nothing was ever planned. Things just happened over there. And it was such fun to be part of that because here I was, new kid on the block and not knowing anybody or anything. And I was there in the midst of all these wonderful older musicians who had been around the block and were doing things in their own right and different. These were all people who were recording in different circles. Well, at that time, Jerry was playing with, he was like the accompanist for some movie that was being made. I can't think of the movie right now, but it was a movie that had like Gene Kelly or somebody who was a dancer, and he was playing every day working on this movie set. So he was doing like, he had to keep that left hand going because he was a piano player for dancers.
Right.
And that's something that I don't particularly do. I voice chords the way I like. I hear pretty chords. Jerry always had this left hand going, like Errol Garner, for instance.
Yeah.
And I admired that because he could have all kinds of things going on with his right hand, but still he kept that, the beat. He was doing like the drummer and the bass player and everything with his left hand.
Right.
Thank you.
Gerald Wiggins, a favorite of my guest, Betty Bryant. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
You were talking about your approach to singing, that you're interested in the message of the lyrics and all of that, and you're such a master at that. And one of the things that's been fascinating for me on this show and just living a while and hearing lots of singers is that there are lots of people with beautiful voices who have nothing to say musically. And that's a harsh comment, but I find it to be true.
You said it.
Was that too mean? But I didn't.
No, it's true.
No, it was a shock to me at first because I had, we have all the singer jokes that everybody's heard and things like that, but to really, to just live longer and be in the business. And I was very fortunate early in my career because I met some of the really great singers and I respected them, but I have since, and all of us have, heard so many singers that are beautiful looking. They might even have a beautiful sounding voice. They might have great intonation, but they still have nothing to say. And yeah. I'm curious. I mean, it's kind of tragic. It's like they've been given this gift and nothing comes out. And I'm really curious what you will say to this, because you are
okay,
such
to
a
begin
beautiful-
with, I don't think they know it. I don't think they realize it. So they're not going to take criticism because they don't know that they're doing anything wrong.
Well, that is profound, and you've kind of stopped me in my tracks, because you're right. If they don't know, I'm going to have to correct this. Yeah, you can't correct it. I'm having to sort of let myself absorb this, Betty, and I'm not being glib, and it sounds like I am, because I think about, I've always wondered if they just don't have a very interesting life, they don't have a story to tell. But if there are people that aren't, that don't know it, you're right. Then we're coming at the same thing in from different ways.
Right.
You know, maybe they don't have, because the reason I was thinking about it, knowing I was going to be talking to you, because the fact that I'm going to order chicken wings next time I go out, because that's such a great version of that. And you enticed me into the love of chicken wings. It made me think. People are always asking if you can teach somebody to swing. And I was thinking, can you teach somebody to be a storyteller? And I wonder, do you think you can?
That's interesting. Rob lives in a town where they have an annual storytelling convention, and I've never been, but I've always wanted to do that. That just sounds like such a, because that is a talent of its own, storytelling. So like we're talking about it in a sense of as an extension of singing. But if you, my advice is to read the lyrics. Don't think about the melody. Read the lyrics, and what is that person who wrote those lyrics, what is he trying to say? I'm not talking about Moon and June and, you know.
Right.
Those kind of songs. But, like in Time After Time, it's like time after time, I tell myself that I'm, you know, if you want to like divide it up like that, the rhyme is there all the way. Mm-hmm. But I sing it like time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky. And it, you know, to be loving you, but it's like I divide the song up and I make my phrasing differently because of the way that the lyrics speak to me and what they're trying to say. It's not just me. I don't own that, but it's just how you look at things, I guess.
No, it's, well, as you're saying it too, I'm thinking, I'm coming back to what you said, is that these people don't know that they're not telling a story. Maybe they don't even know that telling the story is the thing. That's what we're looking at. And if they don't know that, then they're not thinking about the character behind it. I mean, I was interested. This is a good example of this is I did a master class with some middle schoolers. So they were young and they were one of them sang Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, which was really interesting. Now, this is a tune I happen to love. And so you hooked me at hello with the CD, of course, because you open with it. But they, so this girl sang it and she swung, and but it had no meaning. And so I said to her, in this regard, I said, do you know what this lyric means? You know, she was a seventh grader or something, or an eighth grader. And she sort of did. But I had her, I said, I don't tell me who it is, but I want you to think of the cutest boy in school who talks to you one day and the next day he ignores you. And then one day he talks to you, the next day he ignores you. I said, he's putting you in this position. You're between the devil and the deep blue sea. And you know, when I talked a little bit more, and do you know she sang it the next time? And it was amazing because she really was singing to a boy who was driving her crazy. And so in yeah. that case, but she was, she sort of had it already. So maybe if a person is aware and they're trying to tell a story, we can teach them to tell the story better. But you can't tell them if they're not interested in telling a story in the first place. Maybe that's the answer. I'm never going to forget that you said that, that they don't know that they're not telling the story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they study the song to begin with, they're like learning it sort of by rote and rhyme at the same time. They're not learning the lyrics. They're not learning what the lyrics mean.
That's really interesting. That's an interesting that I hadn't thought of it that way. That's I've learned something here because I've wondered, and you're right, if they're thinking about the rhyme, they're not thinking about the story behind it.
I don't hate you, but I guess I love you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. Oh, yeah. I forgive you, 'cause I can't forget you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I ought to scratch you off my list, but when you come knocking at my door, fate gives my heart a twist, and I come running back for more. I should hate you, but I guess I love you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea.
You've had a long relationship with Rob. You met a long time ago, and you've done many collaborations, and lucky you, and lucky him. But I'm curious about that, because we know in the creative world that you meet somebody, and it's almost hard to describe why it just works. It's why directors work with certain actors over and over again, or you two meeting. I'm curious about that, how you met, and what was special about working together, if you can even describe it?
I can describe it exactly. I was working with a bass player. We were playing a duo in a little restaurant in Santa Monica, and somebody wanted us to do their wedding. But they wanted a piano, bass, and saxophone. So Greg, the bass player, said he knew a saxophone player. I didn't even know any saxophone players that I could call on. So I didn't even know who that was that he knew, but he knew somebody. And then at the last minute, that person couldn't do it, and that person called Rob. So Rob was the sub of a sub sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I had not met him before, and neither had Greg, the bass player.
Oh, wow.
So he just showed up, and he's always been interested in percussion and Brazilian music. And let's see, I think at that point I had been to Brazil. Yeah, I had. So I was doing a couple of things in Portuguese. And Rob showed up with not just a saxophone, but a big leather case with all kinds of percussion instruments in it. And we just hit it off. It was like everything just worked. Mm. And it's very funny because we were working together last night, and the lady from that couple that was getting married that day came in last night.
No,
she found us one other time, but the couple found us one other. So they're still together. I think she said last night it was 33 years ago.
1991. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, that's so wonderful.
So we started out as a chance meeting, and we just clicked. We've been close ever since.
That's fantastic. I think that's really interesting with people in general, but with artists especially, because it's working on so many different levels when you really click with somebody, and it's so inspiring from a creative standpoint.
Yeah.
And how you can inspire
and it's
each
comfortable.
Other, which is fascinating. Mm, yeah.
The very thought of you and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream, happy as a queen. And foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you. You'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Betty Bryant from her CD, Lotta Livin'. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Betty had a wonderful story about one of her favorite pianists, George Shearing. I had just told her about my humorous first meeting with him.
I didn't witness this myself, but somebody told me about it. But Dizzy Gillespie once was in a conversation with George Shearing, and he says, "Man, there's one thing that people are not telling you." And George Shearing, "What is that?" He says, "Man, you're black."
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I asked you at the beginning, I think that great health and genes is obviously a blessing, but you have a real passion for what you do. And I have to tell you, I meet very few people who go into this with the attitude that you had in the beginning and that you still have. And I think that's the great lesson of your great life. And obviously, like you say, having talent, but that you wanted to have fun with it. You wanted to make beautiful right. music. You weren't thinking, I want to go get famous. That's a very different focus.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an old saying about if find something that you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life or something like that.
Right, right.
And it's sort of like that. It's like I do what I really like to do, and that's what I've been doing all my life. So I have no reason to be unhappy.
That's so beautiful and such a beautiful message. You were exactly the right person at the right time, Betty, because people are so unhappy about so many things in the world.
I know.
And they're
a lot of people make their own unhappiness, and they don't seem to get that.
Yeah, well, they're the same people that don't know they're not telling a story.
You're right.
Well, I think you're fabulous. I'm so pleased that you took the time, that you got past your fear of doing the show, and that you came on, and you're absolutely marvelous. I can't wait to meet you in person. But Betty, you're a hero to so many of us. I just so admire, love your work, love your piano playing. You are the coolest, and you're singing, and it's very inspiring. I'm telling you, the CD, I'm going to steal a bunch of stuff. I'm warning you now, Rob, I'm going to be stealing. I'm going to be doing doing chicken wings. I've got some other ideas. And I'm going to credit you and I'm going to say, I got this from Betty Bryant. And they're going to go, No, it's absolutely going to happen. I mean, brace yourself. I'm trailing you, woman. So thank you so much for doing this. It's been a delight to talk to you.
I've enjoyed this so much and I was afraid I wasn't going to.
You've been listening to my conversation with Betty Bryant. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Hydoff. You can listen to Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired on all podcast platforms and at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is sponsored in part with generous support from our listeners and Page at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit page63maine.com. Please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.